Let's get a little bit of expert advice about what we should be doing. Dr. Brett Sutton is Victoria's Chief Health Officer. Dr. Sutton, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ellie.
It's not a good situation, is it?
No, it's not. Loads and loads of disruptions, as you say. My kids came back from their sports event yesterday after it was cancelled, and I know people have had much, much worse disruptions than that, and it's difficult when it's last minute and you've made arrangements or you've tried to plan ahead, and these conditions step in and mean that circumstances have to change. But, you know, I think ultimately those workplaces, those sporting clubs need to keep an eye on forecasts, and they need to do the right thing by kids especially to make sure that they're protecting their health. It's absolutely disruptive, but you don't want to expose them, especially those who have asthma or some other vulnerability to high levels of smoke that we saw yesterday in Melbourne.
But what about Tennis Australia?
Well, Tennis Australia, I know, had spoken with the Chief Environmental Scientist, and I liaise with her as well. We're all trying to work out the best approach. There's no one-size-fits-all, and you can't have a blanket solution. You really need to look at the individual circumstances and what the alternatives are for protecting people. But, disruptive.
Yeah, very disruptive. But is it appropriate? I mean, you're Victoria's Chief Health Officer. When you've got international players having coughing fits on court, you've got them struggling on their knees, you've got them having medical timeouts. I mean, at the Kooyong Classic, a game was abandoned, but that was pretty much when players took matters into their own hands. Why did Tennis Australia keep going? Was it appropriate?
I'm not sure. They have their own Chief Medical Officer who provides advice. I know the circumstances, you know, came relatively late in terms of trying to make plans around that. But they do have a heat policy. I think they need to plan out an air quality policy in the same way. We're going to have to do it with schools. We're working with the Department of Education to try and have similar kind of guidance for return to school for kids. But yes, I think there are some individuals who are going to be more susceptible, and so there might be circumstances where you don't cover everyone, you can't cover everyone, and a particularly susceptible individual might end up not being able to play. I think it's a really tricky thing to sort through, because you're trying to protect as many as you can. You probably can't protect everyone from the effects of smoke, but you also have obligations more broadly to the public.
Well, indeed. I guess that's where I get confused. When the experts are telling us to stay indoors, to find an air-conditioned place to go, to reduce our physical activity, when building workers are being told they should go home, when horse races are being called off, beaches are being closed, pools are being closed, and the tennis goes on. I mean, it's not sort of some people being more affected than others, is it? It just seems a really weird situation.
I guess it is, but there are individual circumstances that might be contractual. They might relate to people having travelled internationally and all the rest of it that are being balanced in this space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not the one to make the call. We do, you know, provide the best guidance that we can about what the effects might be.
But you would call for an air quality policy, as you just said, you're also talking to the Education Department about?
Yes, I think, you know, it's true for every workplace. They need to check in with WorkSafe about how they best manage that. But also there's Australian Institute of Sport guidelines on smoke, and sporting organisations need to consider the same thing. We have, you know, experienced the worst air quality in Melbourne for a long time in terms of protracted days and hazardous levels, but it might be a new reality. It will be more probable. We know that going forward in terms of the bushfire season, how bad it might be and how long it might be.
So when you look at, I mean, the return to school, which is rapidly approaching, what sort of thing will be appropriate? I mean, can you keep kids indoors all the time?
It's really tricky to keep kids indoors all the time, obviously. I think you have to consider whether the worsening air quality will be for an hour or a couple of hours, or whether it's going to persist for a day or several days. There are different kinds of quality in terms of how airtight classrooms and buildings are, and that will make a difference. You absolutely have to consider what it means to send kids home. Do you then take their parents out of work? Are they all going back to a home that's possibly a worse environment? Do they need to travel out to escape the smoke, and does that put them in danger in terms of other circumstances? So very complex to work out, but We will work very closely with the Department of Education and Training to try and settle some of those elements of guidance.
So as Victoria's Chief Health Officer, what's your thoughts and your recommendations on masks? Because besides the fact that they're pretty hard to get hold of, there are really mixed views about their effectiveness.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. They're not. There's no absolute clarity that they will provide benefit. We don't make recommendations for them for the general population. We have said and made available to people in the areas most affected by fire, in the Alpine and East Gippsland regions, where there is no possibility of relocation, where they have consecutive days of hazardous air quality, and they're in, you know, shelters and incident control centres and health centres, where they have basically got indoor air quality that's as bad as Melbourne's was yesterday. So
that's indoor air quality.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Because they've had days and days of exposure to hazardous levels, it seeps through into internal spaces and people are exposed to it. So for the general community, though, we're saying, you know, you're absolutely free to consider one and buy one if you can get one. We know it's hard, but they're not a cure-all. They shouldn't be an alternative to staying indoors and reducing your physical activity. And for some people, they make the work of breathing harder and they make you very fatigued. They need to fit properly. You need to buy the right type. You have to be clean-shaven. So there aren't easy solutions in this smoke.
Is there a right type, though, that gives you a better chance of it being effective?
Yeah, it's the one that's labelled P2 or sometimes N95. They often have a little valve for breathing out as well. They're the ones that have the high-efficiency filtration, but they don't last for days. They last for hours, maybe up to a day if you're lucky, depending on conditions. But when they're moist or when they're contaminated, they need to be replaced. So, you know, we'd get through a lot if everyone in Melbourne had them.
And I've got a texter just asking about the impact on newborn babies. Should we be particularly worried about that?
Yeah, we do know from some studies, the Hazelwood long-term health studies obviously looked at children, that they report, you know, worse self-reported symptoms of cough when they grow up, and they have greater use of antibiotics. So we do need to be cautious. We know that they've got developing lungs, developing blood vessels. There's some evidence that that might be affected by early exposure to smoke. But we don't have enough research on the long-term effects, and I think there needs to be more nationally, really. We've got tragic circumstances, but we should use the opportunity to try and follow our populations across the eastern seaboard to see how bushfire smoke affects people in the long term.
Absolutely, because as we said, it might not be good in Melbourne, but gosh, in the bushfire-affected areas, it's significantly worse. Dr. Sutton, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Ellie.